Have you noticed in television that there has been an outpouring of new psychic interest being presented? You can call your friendly psychic for $3.99 a minute and be treated with love and personal interest and concern and find happiness and success in life and build a new world for yourself. I don't remember as a young man seeing too many signs along the street in my hometown, palms read here. I certainly don't remember all these advertisements with a 900 number for psychics. But what these say is that we are turning in this culture to some new approaches to life and ways of thinking that are totally different than anything that has characterized Western culture before. A mother asked me to address this subject because she found her children watching a show, and we've got a number of actresses and well-known personalities who are chairing these activities. And they all sit around and ooh and ah about the insight, the information, the direction, the help, the comfort that is given by this activity. What this is, and we can laugh at it, I think my inclination is not just to smile but to guffaw at the foolishness of it, but what we must face is the fact that a lot of people in this country, an increasing number of people in this country, do not look on this activity as foolish at all. And I think we need to realize that we must include in that number scientists, astronauts, people that we would judge to be entirely sane, perceptive, logical, reasonable, but who see this as an opportunity, as the way to gain control of their lives. What this is not something new in the sense that we've never had psychics around before, that we've never had spiritual mediums around before, that we've never had anyone who said that they could make contact with the dead. Houdini said that he would try to make contact with this world after his death. And he set up some parameters by which it would be known. Now, nobody ever got a message. But there was the distinct feeling years ago in this country by a few that this sort of thing could be achieved. It is a part of what is called today the New Age Movement. The New Age Movement. You say, I don't have anything to do with that. Have you been involved in a positive mental attitude course? Have you been involved in something that's called the human potential movement? Have you heard about holistic medicine? Have you thought you might want to take a course in transcendental meditation? Have you been fascinated by extrasensory perception? Or have you been drawn to hypnotism, altered states of consciousness, and things of this sort? Or have you heard about the power of positive imaging? Has it appealed you to think, as some will say today very popularly, that if you can conceive it, you can achieve it? All of these current ideas are a part of a broad conglomeration of people, groups, and agencies that together make up what is described as the New Age movement. What is the New Age movement? It's a large, loosely structured network of organizations and individuals bound together by a common worldview. And I want to say to you that a lot of these people would not even identify with each other. They wouldn't have any known contact with each other. But they share a worldview. And that worldview is Eastern in its influence. It is a worldview that you will find in Buddhism and in Hinduism. It is not something that's been characteristic of the Western mind. And I'm not trying to suggest to you that the Western mind is perfect in its approach to things. But I'm just saying that it's just not been characteristic of us. Eastern religions didn't find fertile soil in the West in the past, but they are finding it now. You will see an increasing number of Buddhist temples or places where Eastern religionists gather to meditate. And the reason for that is that this common worldview is taking hold in this country, and it's the idea that all is one. Everything is God. God is everything. You are God. This building is a part of God. That tree out in the parking lot is a part of God. The animals are a part of God. Everything that exists in the universe is a part of God. In philosophical discussions, you would call that pantheism. Now, that's the word pan means everything, and theism refers to God. God is everything, and God is everywhere. Here are some of the things that are a part of it. Trance channeling. Shirley MacLaine. Got a friend named J.Z. Knight, who's got this ascended master, this person who lives on the astral plane and doesn't have to go through any more transmigration of the soul, no more reincarnations, already achieved a Ph.D. in astral activity and lived a long time ago. And when Jay-Z gets into a trance, then this gentleman starts telling her things. It's interesting that sometimes old Ramtha tells everybody to buy the Arabian horses that she and her husband are raising at a very good profit. But anyway, she's one of the channelers that Shirley MacLaine has attached herself to. Shirley MacLaine is the high priestess of the modern New Age movement. She's the one that gave it popularity, her little book, Out on a Limb, and then two others to follow it, and then the television series about which she played herself, telling us that out of a muddy pool in the Andes, she ascended out of her body and saw the curve of the earth. Out-of-body experiences. Contact with the soul of the universe. Contact with the God within. It was Shirley MacLaine who startled all of us by saying, I am God. But you must not misunderstand. She was not saying that she was the deity, the personal deity, who rules the universe as we understand it to be in the teaching of the Scripture. She was saying that she was a part of God, that she was divine. We will say more of that. Healing with crystals. If you notice New Agers today, they love to wear crystals around their wrists, around their neck. They love to place them in the house. And they're supposed to be healing power, even mystical ability to obtain information through these crystals. It is somewhat akin to pyramid power. I always remember the young man who found the gospel incredible, but he thought pyramid power must be absolutely true. And what I'm saying to you today is that we live in a generation that will reject what is logical, what is reasonable, in order to obtain what is irrational, and to believe what is incredible. A perfectly sound mind will look at the teaching of Jesus and say, I can't believe that. Teachings that have historical evidence as a foundation. Teachings that are powerfully moving in their ethical supremacy, but incredible to the mind of these people. But crystals and pyramid power and channeling and reincarnation and out-of-body experiences and altered states of consciousness and meditation techniques, and UFO abductions, they're all reasonable and believable. The New Age is not a sect. There's no organization that you can join. You can't go and join your local New Age church. There's no creed to confess. In fact, they would be very much against having any creed to confess. New Agers very widely in their views, but they subscribe to one part of the New Age agenda, at least, and some to many of them. The New Age, of course, is not new, since all these things we're talking about have just been brought back again, as I've said. They come out of Eastern religions, Hinduism and Buddhism, and Western occultism. The idea that we can have access to occult powers and to occult information simply by getting in touch with these mystical forces that are behind all created reality. Then there is the New Age spirit. They believe that the world is on the verge of a profound breakthrough. It's called the Age of Aquarius. We heard that back in the 70s. You remember the song. The Age of Aquarius. When Jupiter is aligned with Mars. We're going to have a new revolution. It's a new consciousness they're talking about. A new approach to life. A new way of seeing things. A new worldview. The old order is limited and finite, and it's going to give way to a glorious, unlimited new order of peace and prosperity and perfection because man is divine and he has the power within him to achieve it. New Age influence has traveled through every facet of contemporary life, holistic medicine. Sometimes it's in the health food business, not all of it. I don't want to get the point here this morning that I want to say that everybody that seems to have some tinge of a language that speaks like the New Agers is somehow involved in it. We'd be like the pilgrims who wouldn't use the names of the days of the week because they were named after pagan gods. And I've not felt the need to change the names of the days of the week because they have pagan origins. But holistic medicine sometimes comes from this New Age movement. Horoscopes in the newspaper. If you found yourself looking at your horoscope, wondering what sign you're born under, listen to the psychics on local television, and you thought, maybe I'll just give them a call. Then I want to tell you something. You're about to take a steep dive into the New Age movement that doesn't believe in the existence of a personal God, even. Sports and exercise programs have gotten caught up in this. Human potential. Undreamed of power that's deep down within you. Not something out there, but something in you that is incredible. Motivational training programs, even for business leaders. Psychological counseling sometimes has a tinge of this, and religious classes of all things are filled with it. There's a ready audience in this world for this New Age message. Here are some statistics that may startle you. 34 million Americans are concerned about inner growth, including mysticism. 42% of Americans feel they've had contact with someone who has died. And that's up from 27% in a previous national survey that was taken 11 years earlier. Andrew Greeley, who is a sociologist priest in the Roman Catholic Church, done studies, it says, and concludes 67% of all adult Americans, some 70 million, report having had some psychic experiences such as extrasensory perception, etc. In 1973, only 58% felt that way. 30 million Americans, one in four, now believe in reincarnation. Can you believe that? 30 million Americans believe in reincarnation. You know what that means? It means that you will go on endlessly because the whole precept of the New Age movement is that this earth is God, this world is God, and we are God, and we're going to go on forever. Everybody has eternal life. The universe has eternal life. It is the one infinite truth, this world consciousness. It is not personal. It is the force that keeps on moving things. It is a process of which we are a part. And so we die, but we are reincarnated. And we die again, in a sense, but we are reincarnated. There is no real death here. And we keep on having different experiences in these reincarnations according to the Buddhist and Hindu background to this whole idea, which says your karma is not yet right. And so because you have a bad karma, then you're going to, maybe you'll come back as a cockroach. Well, that's a great, I'm sure, that's exaggeration. But the point of it all is that you're going to live in the next reincarnation according to the karma you had. But at last, the process allows you to have a good karma. When you get to the good karma, you do not reincarnate anymore. You live in this wonderful astral plane where everything is beautiful and everything is wonderful and every prospect pleases. 14% of Americans endorse the work of spirit mediums, or what New Agers call channelers. Greeley says what was paranormal is now normal to many Americans. It's even happening to elite scientists and physicians who insist that such things cannot possibly happen. I've seen some books written by doctors, written by scientists, astrophysicists, who are known to be falling on their faces before some Swami in India, who is supposed to be a guru who can invite you right into the presence of the real consciousness of the world, to God, not the personal God, but to these powers that are part of the spirit that rules the universe. A 1978 Gallup poll, 10 million Americans engaged in some aspect of Eastern mysticism, 9 million in spiritual healing. From 1978 to 1984, belief in astrology grew from 40% to 59% among school children. That's the reason the mother was right to be concerned. I don't know that her children were believing all that nonsense, but it is, look, television is a teacher. And a significant teacher. And it's not just something that occurs incidentally and now and again and so infrequently that it is of no consequence to us. It is occurring with greater frequency because it comes out of a new approach to things that characterizes many Americans. According to a 1987 survey conducted by Northern Illinois University, 67% of American adults read astrology reports. Can you believe that? 36% believe the reports are scientific. Astrology? The astronomy of astrology is fiction. Astrology says that the sun moves around the earth. Astrology says that the sun moves around the earth. All the planets are not there because most of the planets were discovered after astrology was devised. The sign in which you were born is supposed to control everything, and you must know it down to the very second if you want to get an accurate reading. Of course, you can freely look into the newspaper and get a very inaccurate reading, which they say is, I mean, after all, they're saying if you're a Sagittarius, if you're a Pisces, this is what's going to happen to you on this date. How would they know? It is a business. Gene Dixon is in business. If they ever published her miscalculations and her false prophecies and put it in a book, somebody ought to. I don't know what it's been. Maybe it's been done. But they ought to put it on the very column next to the one she publishes in all the newspapers in the country, along with those other so-called psychics who know what the future holds. Let me tell you what all this is about. It's about gaining control of your life without addressing moral and spiritual issues. It's about gaining control of your life without ever having to deal with sin. It's about personally achieving success. It's about personally, without any obligation to anybody else, achieving wholeness, happiness, and peace. That's what it's about. Shirley MacLaine lived a very dissolute life before she got into New Age spiritualism. And she can go on living a very dissolute life since she's come into New Age spiritualism because there are no moral values in it. More about that later. Credence to these articles of faith and New Age movement are given by television, the movies, Star Wars. I know I've watched Star Wars. I've seen the sequels. But Star Wars talked about the Force as an energy field generated by living things. It wasn't a personal thing. You must understand, the Force is not personal. The Force is like world consciousness. It's like God in the mystical Eastern sense. It's that kind of force of which you become a part. And you can draw upon it if you become like Ben, what was his name? Star Walker, something like that. If you become like him, I've got it down there, but I can't hear it. Anyway, you've got this deep connection with this power. And you don't have to be good. You just have to have the contact. Even on Charlie's Angels, which I never watched, but I read this about it. The characters talked about the energy fields of the chakras, which is a Hindu term. Subtly injecting change and acceptance into public consciousness. The Last Temptation of Christ is a movie that caused all kinds of furor recently. It's based on a novel, 1955 novel by Nikos Kazantzakis. And in it, Jesus doubts his messiahship. You remember when all that brouhaha took place? And struggles with lustful temptations. In the movie, Jesus says, everything is part of God. And that's not a small wonder, since on the introduction page of the script, Kazantzakis wrote, it is not God who will save us. It is us who will save God by battling, by creating, and transmuting matter into spirit. Now, what you have to understand about the New Age movement is that they believe that every individual can draw on this power and create his own reality. In fact, reality is consciousness. God is consciousness. The whole world is consciousness. And we're a part of that. And when we tie into this consciousness, when we let it flow through us absolutely, then we tap this power. And we achieve reality by mental force. If you can conceive it, you can achieve it. That has flown into the charismatic movement, into charismatic churches, into those that have said, God doesn't want his people to be sick or poor. And all you need to do is just believe it, and you'll achieve it. Just thank God that he's already given it, because it'll be given to you. You just ask for it. Robert Shuler, who is the presiding preacher at the Crystal Cathedral in Los Angeles, made this statement commenting on Philippians 2:7-8, which speaks about Christ having emptied himself and been obedient even to death, the death of the cross. Jesus knew his worth. His success fed his self-esteem. He suffered the cross to sanctify his self-esteem. And he bore the cross to sanctify your self-esteem. That's what Shuler said. The self is now the most significant thing. I am the most significant thing. I am God. Further, he said, I don't think anything has been done in the name of Christ and under the banner of Christianity that has proven more destructive of human personality and hence counterproductive to the evangelism enterprise and the often crude, uncouth, and unchristian strategy of attempting to make people aware of their lost and sinful condition. The New Age movement won't do that to you. As Shirley MacLaine says, there isn't any such thing as sin. God is everything. And if God is everything, there's no such thing as bad. Our problem is not sin, according to the New Age movement. Our problem is ignorance. We just don't know we are God. We don't realize we are divine. And what we need is understanding, not correction, not repentance, certainly not that. Well, this has gotten into a lot of areas. Marilyn Ferguson, who wrote the book in the 80s entitled The Aquarian Conspiracy, and you can read it. If you go down to the Holly Cook bookstore and go back into the far right-hand corner down on Shelbyville Road, you'll see a whole section on New Age books. And you can get this down. That section has been growing in size. But she was invited to lecture the U.S. Army War College. Marilyn Ferguson, whose belief in everything is one, and God is one, and we are God, and human potentiality, and what we can do with our minds. She was invited to that. Major corporations have invited such people to come and speak. Yoga is thriving, and yoga is a part of this movement, in case you've ever thought about taking yoga. It's a part of the Eastern mindset that says we sit and meditate, not upon anything. Eastern meditation is a meditation on nothing. What you want to do is clear your mind of all rationality. Don't be thinking rationally. Just sit there and think and open yourself up to whatever comes to you, to feelings, to impressions, to intuitions. In the Bible, we are told to meditate on the Word of God. First Psalm. That righteous man described there, his meditation is on the law of the Lord both day and night. His delight is there. And that's meditation of the gospel sort. But meditation of the Eastern sort is the short circuit of the rational mind. in order to open oneself up to this world soul, to this super self that is supposed to bring not only new understanding but new power and new peace and tranquility. It's a quick and easy way. You don't have to wrestle with all that sin. You don't have to wrestle with pride. You don't have to wrestle with ungodliness. You don't have to wrestle with selfishness. You don't have to meet any of these challenges. You just get this direct connection to this impersonal power that makes no demands on you. He never says, thou shalt not, because he is not, he is it. Never says, you shall. And so people are attracted to it, and I can understand why that is the case. Well, what are the premises of this New Age movement? What does the New Age mean? Members of the New Age Society, subscribers to the New Age Journal, answered in this way. It is the beginning of a spiritual awakening for many people on earth. Or another, ideally it represents non-hierarchical global consciousness. This gets kind of thick. Respect for our bodies and who we are. Another, from Sugar Hill, Georgia, says the New Age is moving into an era that emphasizes self-discovery, spiritual growth and enlightenment. It is an exciting time of reaching past our limitations, human potential. What's inside of us, what we can achieve, what we can do. It is ultimately egocentric. I am the center of the thing, and I am the concern. Ultimate reality for the New Age movement is all is one. The cosmos is pure, undifferentiated, universal energy, a consciousness or life force. Everything is one vast interconnected process. And so, therefore, there's no such thing as sin and righteousness. There's no sin in God. There's no such thing as light and darkness, because there's no darkness in this reality. All reality is one. And therefore, everything is good. And that's just exactly the attitude of the Eastern world. And that's the reason that sometimes gospel preachers had a great challenge in preaching in China and Japan, getting those people to understand what sin is because of the past experiences of their culture. Humanity also is all one. You create your own reality. Jack Underhill, well-known New Ager, you are the only thing that is real. You are the only thing that is real. Everything else is your imagination. Remind you of Mary Baker Eddy and her statement that everything is mine, that the physical material world does not exist, that illness, sickness does not exist. It's just a bad thinking going on here. That sin does not exist. It's bad thinking. You can change all that, get your mind straight. Therefore, you don't need to go to a doctor with your physical ailment. You just go to a Christian Scientist healer, and he'll get your mind straight. And as someone said, Mary Baker Eddy thought she died. But here you are. You're the only thing. You create your own reality. Do you get this human potential idea? The powers that are within you. In the business world, we've got this. Napoleon Hill wrote a book, Think and Grow Rich. And in that book, he talked about some masters that would come to him. He'd call a conference of these masters. And he's talking about people that are dead. He'd call them all in for a conference. And Napoleon Hill is the father of all these, from all these human potential concepts that have been applied to the business world. Earl Nightingale speaks well of him. All others who have written manuals that are supposed to cause a man to open up his potential as a salesman, as an administrator, as a business success. Humans, like everything else then, are but an extension of the oneness, which is all that divinity is. Douglas Grotius, in a book entitled Unmasking the New Age, said, man is not only seen as the measure of all things, he is the metaphysical master. We are one with the one, capital O, and we have access. Doesn't that fill up your ego? There's nobody bigger than you are in the world. Now, Marilyn Ferguson had a little difficulty dealing with the concept of evil. What is evil? How's the devil fit into all this? Well, she said, sometimes people try to get too much of God. Well, the interviewer said, I thought we're all God. Yes, but said we're not all. We don't have all of God. And some of us try to get too big a piece. Well, can't you create your own reality? Yes, but other people have to create their reality too. I don't know how you get this reality in a world where everybody's creating his own. What it just simply means is reality has no objective existence. It's just what we think it is that creates it. There is nothing objective. It is a preposterous, illogical, foolish kind of system that does not deal forthrightly with the real spiritual problems of human beings. Pride, sin, arrogance, selfishness that have created havoc in our world. Well, what it simply means is that men need help, but it's not the kind of help that we ordinarily think of. I want to conclude today by just talking to you about some of the basic assumptions of the New Age movement and helping us understand why we need to be aware of what's going on. First one, as we've already stated, is that God is an impersonal oneness, not separate from creation. If you ask a New Ager, is God eternal? He'd say yes. What's he talking about? The universe? World consciousness? But the Bible says that God is personal. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The universe has a beginning. God has no beginning. And not only that, this is a thinking, reasoning God who says, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness in Genesis 1, 26, 27. And this God is a personal God because if there's any passage in all the New Testament that sort of sums it up and that we are so familiar with, it's the passage in John 3, 16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. This is not some vague, impersonal consciousness. This is not some world soul. This is a person who creates the universe and who's separate from the universe. The 40th chapter of Isaiah said, with whom would you compare me? And he mentions the world itself. There's nothing in the world to compare with God. God is not the world. There is not oneness of God in the universe. He is a transcendent God who was there before the world was created. He'll be there after it's destroyed. And the New Age concept is utterly and absolutely false. Secondly, humanity, like all creation, is an extension of this divine oneness. That is divine, is deity. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says that we are made in the image of God, but it doesn't say we share his deity. A New Ager is perfectly willing to say Jesus is the Son of God. He will not say he is the Son of God. He's perfectly willing to say Jesus is divine. In fact, in the New Age, Jesus is one of the great ascended masters, just like Buddha and Krishna. All these who, by virtue of their effort through meditation, came closer than all others to knowing what this vast consciousness is, this vast impersonal consciousness. And so, New Agers believe that all human beings are just a part of that which is divine, and they ought to have one religion. And therefore, they'll be a part of developing this one religion and calling on people to accept every religious teacher as a part of this great universal religion. That's their spirit and disposition. But that's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what the Bible teaches. Then there are some other things that will help us sort of sum up what this is all about. Man's crisis comes from ignorance. We're not sinful. We're just ignorant. We just don't know the reality. What we need to do is just inform people that they're divine and get them busy finding out who they really are. And when they find out who they really are, they'll know they're perfect. Whatever you are, after all, in a world that is one, everything that is ought to be. Nothing is wrong. And New Agers fault Christianity with being the primary reason why the world's at war with itself, because there is always this duality. Good and evil. Black and white. Light and darkness. And that kind of philosophy, the New Agers says, creates division. But the New Age movement, all is one. Humanity is one. Everything that is ought to be creates unity. It's a perfect match to a society that is bought in to utter relativity. Everything is relative. I'll tell you what we believe in this country. We believe in absolute relativity. Paul Johnson, an English historian who wrote a book entitled The Modern Age, said that this modern age began with the discovery by Einstein of the theory of relativity, which was, I think, finally proven in a measure, or given some substantive proof, in about 1919. He had devised it in 1915. He worked in the patent office in Zurich, Switzerland. It revolutionized the world. But it didn't just influence people to think that that time and space were relative, that you could not just absolutely say so much time and so much distance in the world. And that was established to be true. You know that the popular manifestation of that is that if you take a tip in space traveling 186,000 miles per second at the speed of light, that time will stand still. You'll not age as much. They won't establish. You won't age as much. I guess your whiskers will not grow, and you won't get a growth of in space until maybe it takes 6 days. I don't know. But the popularization of this idea. But that wasn't the most serious implication. That is a scientific theory that seems to have some merit, although we still deal with both Einstein's theory of relativity and Newtonian physics when it comes to dealing with physical reality in the world. But the thing that really touched us was that everything became relative. There's no absolute truth. There's no absolute right, no absolute wrong. And we're full of it in this country. And it manifests itself politically. If there's no sin, then we ought to be tolerant of everybody's lifestyle. He has his own reality. And that's becoming the spirit of the time. It's not a matter of being thoughtful and loving toward everybody regardless of what they do, which is the principle of Christ. But it is a matter of accepting their lifestyle as just as right as yours. That's the crisis. Homosexuality is just as fine an alternate lifestyle as yours. And not only should you treat them with kindness and love, which is the Christian principle, but you ought to accept them in their behavior and approve their behavior. That's the spirit of these times. And we need to be very much aware of it. Man's crisis comes from ignorance. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And we're going to have to wrestle with that. If we're going to keep on floating along, thinking by some mystical meditation, we're going to float right into happiness and joy in the age of Aquarius. We can live that way for a time, or live in that dream for a time, but ultimately reality is going to come to haunt us. Sin is our problem. We are rebels against God. We want to be God. That's the secret of the New Age movement. Everybody wants to be God. That's the devil's strategy for getting men into trouble. What did he say to Eve? In the day you eat, God knows that you will become as God, knowing good and evil. Is that not the temptation? Do we not want to take control of our lives and be beholden to nobody? That is the temptation. And that's the temptation realized in the New Age movement. Next, the New Agers say that humanity needs to be transformed each by each becoming aware of the One. You get there by meditation, by crystals, by working on human potential, by all sorts of methods. Not one method, many methods in order to make contact with this. But the Bible says that humanity needs to be transformed by the gospel, the story of the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ and his redeeming sacrifice for our sins that opens up God's ability to bless us even when we don't deserve it, and not to deny his own righteousness. The love of God that's expressed in the gospel. A transformation that starts at the center of the personality and does not say everything about me is all right. I just need to recognize that. My problem is I haven't recognized everything I'm doing is fine. I don't know what the New Age is going to say about Hitler. I don't know what they say about Saddam Hussein. I guess they say he hasn't recognized. But after all, that's his reality. And if you can believe it, you can achieve it. If you can conceive it, you can achieve it. By positive imaging, as one very popular preacher in this country has said, Norman Vincent Peale.
You just imagine it. And if you'll just imagine it, it'll come true. So sit down and just see yourself achieving it.
I tell you something. The mind of man is intended to help us understand what objective reality is, and that means the will of God. But we cannot sit down and imagine ourselves into some reality that we choose for ourselves. The only thing that people are seeing when they get down and meditate and look deeper within themselves is themselves, not God. And for that reason, this is dangerous beyond words to express it. Transformation comes by many ways, meditation, yoga, all these things. But the Bible says that men do not gain forgiveness by their deeds, but by God's grace and their obedient faith. And that's the only way you can achieve it. Yielding, giving up yourself, deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. The New Agers believe that they're going to create a new world, that this world is going to be transformed by it. The Bible does not say that. The Bible says this world is going to be on fire. The Bible says that that the broad way leads to destruction. Matthew 7:13-14. And many there are that go in thereat. Straight is the gate and narrow the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. The Bible says that we're involved in a rescue operation to save as many people on this sinking ship as we can, but this world is doomed for the fire. Not for some new age utopia. We can't escape if we put our trust in the Lord. There is a new age, but it's one that God effects by the sending of His Son into the world to receive His own who have trusted in Him, left themselves, and yielded their will to the will of the Almighty, who have recognized that they are persons made in the image of a personal God who has a personal will for them and whose will decides how life is going to be, whose will determines what reality is. Not our will, but His will is reality. And I want to ask you this morning, as I conclude this crash course in the New Age movement, which will leave you with a lot more questions perhaps than answers, but at least sensitize you to the fact that a lot of things going on today that seem to be wholly innocent may not be at all because of the presuppositions that are behind what's being done. Anything that's going to transform your life that does not deal with the reality of sin and the grace of God and the will of God is not going to achieve that. Anything that puts you in charge is not going to achieve it. Anything that you're going to achieve by what you do, human potential. Let me tell you something. Whatever potential we've got, God gave it to us. And the only one that can help us achieve that potential is the one who gave it. Not me, not you. And all this idea of self-esteem, yes, we need self-esteem. But an esteem that's based upon the fact that God loved us, not that we are somebody, not that we are God. The only value we have, we need to face this fact, is not from the great things we've done, but because He cares about us. He values us. And the value He placed upon us is exhibited in what He was willing to do to save us. And He sent that Son to the cross. Don't talk to me about some vague world consciousness, impersonality, forces and powers. Far better we speak about the personal, loving, righteous, holy, merciful God, who is the paradigm, the model for our own characters. He made us like Himself with the intention that we should come into fellowship with Him as personalities, not by dying as the Eastern religions would have us believe, not by becoming one drop that falls into the ocean, loses all identity, coming to nirvana so that there is no more consciousness at all. The only self that's left is the grand self, the super self. Yourself, well, you pass into nothing. But a self that continues to be a self, but a self that is yielded, a self that is given, a self that loves the one that loves you. That's the way the world is. This New Age conception is false, is destructive, will lead to disillusionment. People who are getting in it today because they're disillusioned with what they're seeing in our world, with religion that doesn't satisfy, got one or two problems. One problem may be they're in the wrong religion instead of the way of the Lord. And they're running from something false and getting into something that's even more false.
But a more serious problem is that they just don't want what God wants for them. And they're not going to have that. And they're going to buy into a system that lets them choose their own reality and achieve their own deliverance and their own salvation. I want to conclude this lesson by saying to you, you can't do that. It is not in man that walks to direct his own steps. This is life eternal, that we should know thee, the only true God, and him whom thou hast sent, Jesus Christ. John chapter 17, verse 10. Do you know him today? Because if you know him, it has resulted not in your affirming and approving the kind of life you're living, but in rejecting that life and accepting the life he gives. Not just in the sense of the way you live, but that you live it all through his mercy and grace and forgiveness. There's peace there. If you'll accept it and break that stubborn will that forevermore keeps on driving us into an egocentric determination to have our way and to achieve our solutions and to get through with the whole process and say, I did it. I did it my way. Well, your way is doomed to utter an abysmal failure. So is mine. But God's way is the way to life. If you've not been converted to Christ, if you have not accepted his will, think with me, please. If you have not accepted his will, you have to ask why. You can turn in your heart toward it. Give yourself up to the one that loves you by being baptized into Christ that's our upon the basis of an obedient and submissive faith. And we urge you to do it while we're standing and sitting.